Hello, welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day.
Welcome, fellow seekers, to podcast number 40 of God Beyond the Bible, a podcast made by seekers and for seekers. As you know, we released our first episode the first Friday of January 2019, and here we are at the end of September recording episode 40, which makes us feel good that we will soon be, Lord willing, recording that all-important episode 52, which will mark our first year.
I don't know what we'll do after that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that should be a big episode because not only will it conclude a full year for us, but it will also end this decade.
Well, oh, my goodness, well, yeah, it really, will.
We'll end the decade. But I'm not sure it's going to be 52 episodes. I haven't looked to see if there are actually maybe 53 Fridays.
Yeah, I haven't counted either.
Yeah, okay, anyway.
Well, as we have mentioned, we are always encouraged by our growing audience, and we are really thankful for those of you who listen faithfully. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a few that never miss an episode, and we often find that some of you listen to it before any of us here get a chance to hear it. But we wanted to say we love you all, and you are why we do what we do.
How about shout-outs?
Yeah, our shout-outs today. Well, first I want to make a note to everybody listening. We are back to recording two episodes ahead.
Yes, yes.
So if you send a question or a comment or you're a new listener waiting for a shout out, it may take us a couple of episodes before you hear us respond to it.
And I will tell you, for three seasoned procrastinators, we're doing really good at staying two episodes ahead.
I think we're just doing that in case we have another. We had a little scare. We all got, well, a couple of us were sick for about 2 weeks there. So
yes, Tabby didn't get sick. Yeah. She will let you know that real quick. Our shout-outs are to A. Kimona, Royce, and JB.
I almost went into a song there, but it's My Sharona.
My Sharona.
Totally different thing.
Okay, yeah. Okay, last episode, well, of course, was number 39. Our discussion was on toxic people and toxic relationships. We sincerely hope you found something we said helpful and encouraging. We realize that limiting your contact or in extreme cases cutting off contact with that toxic person is very difficult. But sometimes getting Jonah off the boat is all that will save the boat and all those aboard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In this episode, we're going to go 180 degrees in the opposite direction. We'd like to talk about those people who have been there for us and encouraged us when we needed it most. We here at God Beyond the Bible call them the rope holders.
So let's begin by letting you know why we chose the term rope holders and what it means. We're actually referring to two events that were recorded in the New Testament. And one of the events was when Jesus was in the house teaching and the crowd was so intense that no one could get an audience with our Lord. In this story, there was a crippled man who four of his friends wanted to present to Jesus in hopes of him being healed. Since they couldn't get in the crowded house by means of a door or window, if you remember, they carried the man to the roof, estimated the spot they thought Jesus was positioned in the house, tore back the roof, and lowered the man on his cot, stretcher, makeshift bed, or whatever you can imagine it was, using ropes, and lowered him right down in front of Jesus. Well, to make the story short, he was healed and exited the meeting under his own power.
Now, this story gets a lot of attention, but not too many of us think about the role of the four unnamed friends the role that they played in this miracle. They obviously were the heroes in the story. They were determined not to allow any obstacle keep them from their mission of seeing the life of their crippled friend made better, right down to carrying him up on the housetop, tearing away the roof, and holding the ropes that lowered him down to the presence of the master, therefore rope holders.
These unknown, unnamed individuals who cared about their friend to such a degree and were willing to go to such incredible lengths to see his life bettered are what we call rope holders.
The other event's similar in a lot of ways. It's recorded that the Apostle Paul was so hated in Jerusalem that a group of temple leaders had conspired to assassinate him at the gates of the city as he attempted to exit. Some of Paul's unnamed and unknown friends got wind of the assassination plot and devised a plan to put the controversial apostle in a basket and use ropes to let him down over the Jerusalem wall in the middle of the night. And they successfully did just that. And thus they saved the apostle's life, enabling him to go on with his gospel of grace ministry.
Now, once again, we see a group of people. We're not sure if they were men, women, or a combination of both, who saw a need, they sprung into action, and at great risk to their own lives, they courageously lowered Paul to safety. These are the second example of people who care enough to get involved in the life of another person, impacting the life of that person in a profound and life-altering way. And that's why we call them rope holders. That's right.
And these are the people we want to think and talk about today. They are people who care for us, love us, and want the best for us. Sometimes they are the people we would expect, parents, grandparents, siblings, or best friends from childhood. But the reality is, sometimes they are almost strangers who, for some reason or another, are compelled to impact our lives in profound and positive ways. Like the two examples from the Bible, often these people do the things they do for us without ever being officially recognized for their contribution to our lives.
And I have a feeling that almost everyone has a picture of somebody in their head right now.
Sure. Oh, I mean, yeah, how many people absolutely. Do we talk about that say, you know, my grandpa was right there. My grandma was right there for me.
Sure.
My grandmother, when nobody else was or always believed in me, there's somebody out there that we all have that's a rope holder, has mm-hmm. been a rope holder. And maybe we've had some rope holders. Is it possible we've had some rope holders that we aren't even aware of?
Many. Yeah. I think I've had many Definitely. That I didn't even realize at the time. So with that thought, allow us a moment to regather our thoughts, regroup, and we'll be right back with part two.
Okay, fellow seekers, as you already know, today's topic is what we here at God Beyond the Bible have termed as rope holders. Those people who have supported, encouraged, and impacted our lives in positive ways.
Okay, so let's use segment two, part two of this episode, to talk about some of the ways people have been and could be rope holders in our own lives. And again, they may be those people who are close to us, or perhaps not so close.
And how about a person whose grandparents stepped in and raised them due to whatever circumstances might have occurred? Could they be a rope holder?
Yeah, and we see that a lot. Mm-hmm, I've mm-hmm. talked to a lot of people that were raised, you know, by their grandparents that came in, and for whatever reason, if it was addiction yeah. or whatever reason it is, and they were rope holders. You know, you see those, you watch on television, you see those where, you just see it a lot. You see where somebody's been shot. I mean, they're in Little Rock here in Arkansas, and mm-hmm. there's somebody, they claim they only have like 50 or 60 homicides a year,
right.
and you hear one every day. But right. anyway, that's nevertheless. And you'll see those grandmothers that are just in pain because they've done their best to raise mm-hmm. that grandchild. Right. Or a stepfather or mother who genuinely stepped into the role of a person's own parent, or in possibly even adopting and loving like a real parent. I mean, mm-hmm. Kudos to those rope holders.
Yes, absolutely.
That you step in and raise a child and treat them. I mean, I can... There may be some that get mistreated as stepchildren or that had a bad life with step-parents, but I can just name you right off the top of my head several people that step-parents stepped in and yeah. raised them and gave those children a life that they would never have had.
Right. What about the stories of people who grew up as foster kids and they happened to be taken in by people who impacted their troubled lives in profound ways?
I love reading those stories.
And it is such a calling to be a foster parent.
It is. The thought of it terrifies me, yeah. But there are these people who just love it and take it in stride.
And there again, kudos to those rope holders that are foster parents. And, mm-hmm. I was watching an episode of, I've seen it more than once on episodes of Unsolved Mysteries. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever watch any of that, but it's always something, I couldn't explain it to you.
Mystery that's unsolved.
I guess it really is, yeah. And a lot of times it'll be children that moved through a foster home that really impacted their lives, and then they got moved into another uh-huh. foster home or something, mm-hmm. or adopted, and they always remembered this one foster family, yes, that took right. them in and would try to reconnect with them.
Well, what about that person who we may hardly know, who saw something in us and gave us a job that we really had no prior experience at in the field?
And I've had that happen in my life.
I did. I had right out of high school when I got my GED, because that's what homeschoolers do. We go get our GED. And while I was getting mine, I fixed a printer for a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up, he contacted Dad and told him he had a job opportunity for me. And I ended up starting down kind of a sideline path that I never would have imagined.
Yeah,
and I know him,
and he's gone on to be with the Lord now. But James is a great guy, and that's just the way he was. He was an encourager. He's a mm-hmm. rope holder for anybody he could, mm-hmm. because he was over the GED program.
Yes, he was.
That's what he actually was. Is it me?
It mm-hmm. is you.
Is it E?
It is E.
What about the person who stepped in and stretched the rules a little to help us get that loan for a car or that house or that startup for a business?
Yeah.
I mean, I had that happen to me. I've had it to mm-hmm. happen more than once in my life, especially the first time or two I had no success at a bank. And finally, this guy, just stepped in and really helped me get a mm-hmm. bank loan. My wife and I, early in our life, to help us. Well, it just helped us. He stepped in the gap. He didn't have to do it.
What about that teacher who seemed to take a special interest in us personally and encouraged us to excel?
I guess that would be Tabby for me.
Well, I could say in public school in the second grade, I'll tell a story that I had in the second grade. Her name was Miss Pipkin. I know nobody would probably even know, except somebody my age that went to Shirley School in that era. And I remember that we were really poor growing up, and we had a deal that I don't know if they did it when you guys were in school, while you were in public school, but they had a little deal that in the afternoons you could get milk. They'd bring the milk cart around to the classrooms.
Oh.
And you could have it wasn't a snack, it was just milk.
Right.
And you'd get chocolate or plain milk, and I think then they cut out the chocolate milk. But anyway, someone was paid, it's 2 cents. I think it was 2 cents or a nickel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it was even a nickel, but someone was paying for me to get that milk in the afternoon. And my dad made a big deal out of it, because I said, somebody's paying, and and come to find out, Miss Pipkin told me, she said, I've been the one that's been paying for you to get milk in here.
Oh.
And my dad made her stop paying for the milk, out of pride, just a pride
sure.
thing. We don't need your charity, but I thought that made a big impression on me, because I remember when she told me, she come up behind me at the playground, put her arms around, said, I just want you to know, I'm the one that's been...
Yeah.
I needed to tell you, your dad was upset, and I'm the one that's been paying for your milk. So, but she was, that was a great thing.
Well, and let's not forget those who've been there for us when we were going through those low points in our life, maybe a breakup or a divorce, or they believed in us and they didn't abandon us when our life was a mess.
Yeah, and those are big rope holders. The people, when everybody's abandoned us, when our mm-hmm. life is just all going to nothing, isn't that? That's big rope holders mm-hmm. that stay there, and they're always there, and they've heard the same old crying on their shoulder over and over, the same thing. Sometimes rope holders are just good listeners.
They are, and a lot of them aren't very pushy. You might have to contact them, because they don't, constantly dive into your life and get into your business, but the second that you need them, you can pick up the phone and they're right
and
there on
there.
The other end.
Mm-hmm.
And how about those people who look past our flaws and just value us for who we really are inside? It's kind of nice. Is it refreshing just to have somebody that's not judging you because of the way you're living or because
mm-hmm.
what you're going through or whatever it is that you're going through in your life, and they just love you. They're the same every time you see them, and that's great.
Kind of along the same lines, how about those people who stick by us even when we've made poor choices and we're suffering the effects of those poor choices?
And here's where we're going to probably drag in the church a little bit again. I've made a statement before. And I'm not, we're not about destroying the church or the confidence in the church or anything like that. But I've seen so many times where it's the church group. I said a long time ago, the church group is the only one I know that actually, it's the only army I know that shoots their wounded.
Yes,
they just, you know,
true.
Somebody gets down and they just abandon them, and they want, and the quicker they can get away from them. And that really should be the people we're drawing in and trying to love on those people.
What about the people who choose to give us work or do business with us when they could just as easily choose someone else?
And we've all had that. I mean, in being in business in our lives, that just they do business with us because they like us. And they just feel like they ought to do that. You know, I have people out in our job, as I work for Tracen and Tabitha and DJ now, but out on the job and on the truck, and I have people that will put me out money, bonuses.
Yeah.
Out there, here, this is for lunch. Have lunch today. I think that's pretty encouraging for somebody to think, you know, I'm gonna throw $10 out there for my garbage man to eat lunch.
Well, it is. Or, you know, even little things when someone offers you a soda out of their fridge, it just makes your day.
I used to have a guy that brought me coffee out every morning. He would bring me a styrofoam cup of coffee out there, and I would drink it whether I wanted it or not.
Right.
Is it me?
Yes.
Okay, let's not forget those people who allow and encourage us to find ourselves and seek out our niche in life, even when so many are telling us what we should be doing. Yeah, what about those people that just say, you know, if that feels right for you, then I'd go for it.
Yeah, just give it a try.
Because there's always those people. Don't you ever get tired of the people that know what's best for you?
Oh, yes.
But they always know what's best for you, what you need to be doing.
And you know, I will have to say, I've really tried with my kids because, you know, as a parent, you feel like you know what's best for you. But I've really tried to step back, especially as my kids get older, and let them make those decisions or try to. But because I learned I really was one of those parents who, well, what you should do or what you need to do.
And I have
they weren't
trouble,
really learning anything.
I have trouble sometimes not being a total Debbie Downer. Well, what you haven't considered.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So can you guys think of anything, anyone, any other type of person you might add to this list?
No, I mean, I know there are tons out there. Even, you know, those people who always seem to know when you need a little bit extra as far as groceries or things
well,
like
sure.
that.
Well, sure. I've had people, I know that I, and I could tell you story after story where Twan and I were going through early, as you are when you're having your first married and you're trying to, because we didn't have come from either of us from wealthy families that were able to contribute money to us to help us. So there were times that we actually got anonymous money in the mail.
Yeah. Well, I know.
And Christmas, it'd be Christmas time and someone would send us anonymous cash in the mail.
I will say this one. You know, Steve lost his job right as we were getting married at all kind
of. I thought that was on purpose. No.
Yeah. And so he wasn't working and I was. And he was helping me out and trying to find a job. And Grandma would call me at least once a week. You need to come up by here when you finish your route because I have something for you. And she would have a bag of groceries every week.
Sweet.
And it would be like pork chops or something like that. She's like, I just thought I'd buy you guys dinner.
Yeah.
And I just loved that. It meant so much
to
me.
Well, that was good. Instead of telling, you know what Steve really ought to do.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, I think we're going to just pause here and regroup, and then we'll come back with part three and our conclusion on the topic of rope holders.
Okay, so far we've defined what we mean by rope holders. And given a couple of Bible examples of rope holders there with where they let down the crippled man with Jesus and with Paul letting him over the wall. And we've given thought to a few scenarios where rope holders may have impacted our own lives.
And in this third part of our 40th episode on rope holders, well, it's not our 40th episode on rope holders.
That is on rope holders.
There we go.
Topic is rope holders.
Given the profound impact these folks have had on our lives, let's ask ourselves the hard question. Am I being a rope holder, or am I just the beneficiary of the rope holders in my own life?
You know, someone said...
I'm the beneficiary a lot.
Well, someone said, and I think I've said this on another episode, but the things I benefit from, I had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
And the things I do, I will benefit not.
I like that.
I do like that.
And there's another person recorded on the pages of the New Testament that doesn't get more than an occasional honorable mention. And his name is Barnabas, and he is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. His contributions to the faith are often overshadowed by the people he was associated with. For example, he was the companion of the Apostle Paul and often was overshadowed by Paul's accomplishments.
Many seekers out there likely already know this, but for those who may need to be reminded, his name really wasn't Barnabas. He was actually Joseph. Mm-hmm. You will find this recorded in Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Barnabas was a nickname given to him by the apostles. His nickname given him, Barnabas, means son of encouragement. In other words, he was known as the encourager, a name that reflected his greatest attribute, and that was encouraging everyone he came into contact with.
Okay, so let's ask ourselves this difficult question. If the people who know me best were to get together and give me a nickname based on my most prominent character attribute, what would it be?
Anxious Annie.
You know, the complainer.
Yeah.
Old sad sack. Doom and despair. Hateful. The critic. No, I mean, I'm not saying that about Tabitha. I'm just saying we all ask that question.
Right.
If that was my most prominent attribute, what would it be? Would it be, you know, I had a guy one time said, there's old Smiley. Well, that was a compliment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and if you think about it seriously, though, for a person to be such a positive influence on those associated with them that you're given the nickname Encourager, that is a huge compliment. And if you follow Barnabas through the book of Acts, you're going to find he really does live up to that nickname.
He does. And think about it. Every time they called him Barnabas, that was the word, the Greek word for the encourager.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's the encourager. When I said Barnabas, and if you notice, he never was known as Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
He was never again called Joseph. It was always Barnabas. Well, in Acts chapter 4 that we just mentioned, he's selling some land that he possesses, and he brings the money from the land to be given to the new converts in Jerusalem who are suffering financially at the hand of the temple Jews. So Barnabas is a financial encourager or a rope holder for folks he may or may not even know.
Right. The next time he appears, the believers are skeptical and afraid of Paul after his conversion because they knew as Saul he persecuted and arrested believers, even to the point of being involved in Stephen's executions. So when Paul becomes a believer, many don't trust him, thinking, you know, it may be a trick. But we find that it is Barnabas who steps in and sticks his own neck out, using his own reputation to get the believers to accept Paul. So here we find him being a rope holder or an encourager by stepping in and using his own influence on another's behalf.
And in a big way.
Yes.
Yeah.
In another event that was recorded in Acts is when Paul and Barnabas have a falling out over Mark. Barnabas wants to take him along on their second missionary journey, and Paul refuses to allow Mark to go because he left them in the middle of their first missionary journey. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little like Paul sometimes.
Yeah.
We're told that the contention over the matter became so great that Paul and Barnabas split up. Paul chose Silas, and Barnabas took Mark and went his own way. And it's not hard to surmise that we wouldn't have the first recorded gospel, the book of Mark, if Barnabas hadn't stepped in and encouraged Mark and gave him that second chance. So here we have Barnabas being a rope holder by being willing to overlook someone's mistakes and give them another chance.
And that's a big one.
That is.
Given, you know, well, everybody deserves a second chance, but what about if it's the third chance or the fourth? Or however many in, you've kind of got to do that by the Spirit. But let me go ahead and say about Mark, and it was kind of interesting to me. There, our air just kicked on if you guys heard that. But let me say about Mark, Paul obviously later regretted that because he wrote later, only Mark is, or matter of fact, he said, please send Mark to see me. I love that guy. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. Well, so
Paul was a little bit of a temperamental kind of guy.
Yeah, you could tell. He was all mad, and who knows why Mark deserted him. We don't know. We know none of the details, but Paul wasn't really, and Barnabas was willing to be the rope holder, just forgive Mark and say, you know, that was one of those cases where I'm sure Barnabas saw something in him that he thought this guy deserves another opportunity. Okay. We think it's fair to say that Barnabas' record as a rope holder not only affected the people he encouraged personally, but it has had a profound effect on generations to come, and it's still affecting us today. Had he not stepped into the gap for Paul, we might not have the gospel of grace we enjoy today. Wow. Think about that.
There's plenty of opportunity every day for us to be a rope holder for someone. There are plenty of people who are down and out, rejected, feeling hopeless and helpless, that maybe all they need is a little positive impact, a little encouragement from someone or anyone. The possibilities are limitless. We don't need a degree or title to do the most effective work in ministry that one can enter and do today, and that is to be a rope holder, an encourager.
And it just may be the most rewarding experience you will ever have, even though you may never be acknowledged for your contribution. And I have to say this too, and I don't do this as well as I should, but one of my readings, because I'm forever reading something, in one of my readings, the lady said, if you want to start changing the world, every time you go out in public, find three people you can compliment on something.
Yeah, that's great. I hear that noise again.
I have no idea.
I don't have any idea if that's the air conditioning.
And I don't think you guys can hear it out there.
I don't think you guys will ever hear. You always talk about these noises we hear, but I hear it in the headphones. Are we ready to conclude?
We're ready.
Okay. We hope you'll take a little time to think about and honor the folks who have been rope holders for you. They were and still are there for you. You may not see or communicate with them often, but you know they're there. Perhaps they're gone, but we can still honor their memory by being a rope holder for someone else. After all, we have their example to follow. It's time we stop thinking that by criticizing people and pointing out their perceived faults and failures, we're helping them. You ever had anybody say, I'm doing that because I love you?
Yes.
Now, I'm only saying this because I really love. I've got a friend right now, and he'll relate to this. He'll listen to this, and he has someone in his life that says, well, I'm only do that because I love you. I only say those things because I love you. Well, listen. You know, they may be pointing out those perceived faults and failures, you know,
under the guise
that we're helping. But nothing can be further from the truth. If we want to be a rope holder and remembered as an encourager, we must do it with no expectation of reward, or that the person will change to suit us, or that we ever even become aware of the results of our actions. It's called doing the right thing for the sake of doing the right thing. Helping another of God's creation over a tough spot in this tour of duty we call the journey of life.
And until next time, God's grace, peace, and love on you and yours from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.